What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, ML Bearman, outdoorsman, desert enthusiast. He's the author and host of the Mojave Mysteries. That's a book and video series, as well as the writer behind the acclaimed Western horror series of novels featuring monster hunter and cowboy character J. Everett Earle. Often referred to as the Rod Serling of the desert, his books and video series detail the strange, bizarre, and paranormal aspects of the vast Mojave Desert. They've thrilled and captivated audiences all over the planet. ML, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
How did you get so interested in the Mojave Desert and uncover these incredible stories?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest, so, you know, I was coming from a totally different geographic area when I moved to the West Coast, and I went to the desert just on vacation or to visit, and I fell in love with it. I decided to move there, and once I moved here, I started meeting local people, and always being a history buff and a fan of bizarre things and crazy stories, I started hearing things from people that were very intriguing. And then, you know, once you spend enough time by yourself out in the desert, you start to encounter things of your own, which add to the equation. So, it just came from living in the area. And all of a sudden I realized what a rich history this place has beyond the classic history of miners, Native Americans, and military tech.
I was talking about the general geographic area. Is it a wide area, however?
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than people think. And what people don't realize, most people's experience of the desert is driving through it, right?
As quickly as you can.
Right. And it tends to be on the peripheral edge of the desert, you know. So you drive through and you look off into the vast countryside, you know, geez, what the hell goes on out there? Well, that's what I love, is going out there into the center part of the Mojave and exploring, because it's a totally different world. There's almost like there's two different families of phenomena you encounter. There's things that people encounter on the road. I call it the what I saw on the road, you know, syndrome. What people see when they're driving or when they stop to eat or relieve themselves or whatever. Then there's what you encounter deeper into the wilds, which tends to be a lot different and a lot more strange.
Does law enforcement talk about some of these cases and things we're going to talk about tonight?
Yes. I had one sheriff's deputy tell me that if everybody dumped in the desert could get up and walk, they'd be elbow to elbow.
Jeez.
Now, that's obviously a bit dramatic, but if you study the history of it, you will see that going back even into frontier times, there were just stories all the time in the papers about people disappearing in the desert and or bodies found or parts of bodies found. And it, the area is so big that the police or the sheriffs really can't get to a lot of it. I know at one point the San Bernardino coroner's office was backed up almost a year and a half.
My gosh. And ML, is there still the indigenous Mojave people in that region?
There are, you know, a lot of that was swept away and they were forced onto reservations and stuff like that. They are select groups that are starting to reclaim a bit of their heritage. The thing is, that's all government land now. So they're fighting the government to get back what was theirs originally. And it tends to be more on the peripheral, like I said. People don't realize that life centers around water in the desert. If you're not near water, you're not really going to have a population center or anything like that. So in the vast interior, which is very dry, it's still pretty unpopulated.
Let's talk about some various aspects of the unusual. We'll start with UFOs. How long is the history of that in those areas?
That goes back all the way to the very first white settlers into the area. The papers of the time used to carry articles, and I've done videos on this, on what they would call mysterious aerial visitors or airships. And they were described as lights in the sky, but sometimes they would actually see craft, what they thought were attached to them, or lights attached to craft, and silent, coasting over areas. Now, at that time, what's interesting is the UFO phenomenon has changed decade to decade. It's like it really depends on the technological level of the society viewing it. In the early days, they were considered airships. And the people behind them, they thought were mad scientists who were testing their designs at night so they wouldn't be stolen, or military stuff, or men from Mars. And then as it progressed into the early stages of manned flight, then you get the military, and now everybody, you know, we went through the whole contactee era from the 40s, 50s,
well, that's
and 60s,
right.
Where
yeah.
It was, you know, Venusians taking people up in flying saucers and blonde people to the grays, the greens, the reptilians, and today, you know, as you see the Navy releasing these videos of stuff they're encountering just off the coast, which is more what they call Tic Tac or drone type entities or activities. I mean, we've got reports of that going back way back. I just did a case I uncovered in 1955 in Palm Springs. They saw what they said looked like a cube in the air that was spinning and swirling, and then it took off at a very fast rate of speed. Then that night, two Air Force guys flying a cargo plane over the desert said they saw it zipping along the ground, shining a blue light on the ground before it took off. Now, I found an actual redacted Air Force report on it where they outlined all this technology that they thought could have been associated with it, and it reads very close to what they're saying today, things that are operating beyond the level of what we consider current technological abilities. And today, you know, the debunkers want to say, well, it's drones. They're testing. It's either Russia, China, or the, you know, secret American guys testing drones. But then you have the same type of phenomena manifesting itself in the 50s, which we weren't flying drones in the 50s. And there's a great example of how the phenomenon has continued from early days to the 50s right up till today.
What do you think makes that area so strange?
Two things. One, the remoteness and the harshness of the terrain. I mean, it looks like another planet, so it's a natural jump to think that there's things from another planet out there. But the big thing, and this is why the military puts their secret testing out there, is there's no one around to watch. Or if there is someone trying to watch your stuff, you can spot them because there's no place to hide. You know, the Area 51, China Lake, Groom Lake, all these places. And there's other bases out there that are even more secret that you really don't even know you stumbled into until all of a sudden you find your electronics are all getting jammed and you encounter things that are really bizarre. Like I've stumbled into what I'm pretty sure was a secret test that was confirmed by two other people that witnessed it.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold, and the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today. Let's talk about some of the strange creatures that are out that way. The Death Valley werewolf, what have we uncovered here?
Well, that was a thing I had found, an article that actually came from Palo Alto, which is at that time was the outskirts of LA on the desert, where they were reporting a what looked like a wolf-like animal with a human head that had been seen on the outskirts of town, and the police actually had to investigate, and their conclusion was it was, quote, some bizarre exotic animal, which doesn't leave you with a lot of people. Now, that I published that, and then I got reports from a couple people. One guy that was up in Death Valley, and he said one night driving back through Death Valley, he saw what he said looked like, I guess, what today they would call a dog man or a werewolf type entity, you know, some thing that looked like canine, but would go to two legs as it ran at times. And he had seen it by the road and watched it run off through the desert. And then someone else a little farther south had reported the same thing, that they had stopped to relieve themselves and saw this thing sitting out on a ledge watching them. And when they moved back to their car, it stood up and ran off. And they described it as looking like a werewolf. So I ran with the Werewolf of Death Valley as a title. But it's some sort of creature that the people that see it say it shares characteristics of canine and human.
I mean, there's something now, strange going on out there. There's no doubt about that, is there?
Well, see, here's the thing. We've God, when I first moved here, like, people would be talking about the yucca man or the hairy man or the elder brother, which was their version of what classically sounds like Bigfoot, or at least some sort of hominid creature. And I thought at the time that this is, okay, of any place it's not going to be is the Mojave Desert, right? I mean, it just sounded too crazy. But I met so many people that had told me stuff, and then I myself found tracks on like four different occasions and photographed them, and I've shared some of the photos, some I haven't yet. But they led me to some really bizarre stories by people, and I don't know if I got time to tell you.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
This is one of the things I love about doing this, I'm sure you're the same way, is when I hear stories that start with, I never told anybody this, or this was too weird that I just didn't want to share it with anyone because they'd think I'm crazy. Because I like those. Those are the ones that are a lot more personal.
Those are the best.
Right. So I had shown this photograph to a friend of mine, and he mentioned it to a friend of his. And he came to me and said, hey, can I see that picture? So I showed it to him, and he goes, and same thing. He goes, I never told anyone this because it was so strange, but I'm going to tell you. He was hunting in the Mojave Preserve, which is 3 million acres of wilderness in the middle of the Mojave.
Huge, big
game that you can hunt. And, you know, people hunt mule deer. There's cougars, burros. Also, they don't hunt burros, but you know, there's a lot of animals. And he was up there hunting doves. And in the desert, everything goes for water. So he goes, you know, I knew where there was a secret water hole, so I was going to wait till the end of the day when everything goes to drink and see if I could catch some doves coming to drink. Not very sporting, but I'm not a hunter. So anyway, he goes, I hiked about 3 miles in from my camp to this rocky area where I knew there was this hidden water hole. And I got up close to it, and he goes, all of a sudden, I got the weirdest feeling, like my skin was crawling, like my hair standing on end. And he goes, I instinctively stopped, took the bird shot out of my shotgun and put two shells in with buckshot. And he goes, there was a hedge separating me from the water hole. And as I approached it, I had my gun at my shoulder because I just felt something was there. Because all of a sudden there was this grunt, and this figure came hurtling through the air over the hedge and landed at my feet.
Jeez.
He goes, I looked down. It was a dead foal, donkey, or burro.
Like, right? It was tossed over at him?
Here's the thing. He said its back was snapped in half, like something had just smashed its back because it was bent almost U-shaped in the wrong direction. He said tongue was hanging out. So I'm like, wait a minute, someone threw a mule at you, a burro at you? He goes, this thing came cartwheeling through the air like a rag doll to land at my feet. He goes, I'm looking down at this thing going, what the hell? And he goes, all of a sudden this roar comes from behind the ledge or hedge. It sounded like someone ripping a grizzly bear in half. And then it took off through the bushes on the other side, and I heard brush cracking. And as it ran away from me, and I'm like, well, did you go over to the water and look like if there were tracks near the water? You know, hell no. He goes, I got the message loud and clear that this thing didn't want me there. So I started hiking back to my camp.
He went the other way, right?
Right. And he goes, as I got halfway to my camp, I came across a line of tracks that look exactly like this photo you showed me. That's why I'm telling you. I'm like, wow, that's one of the weirder ones I've heard.
Sounds like a Bigfoot episode, doesn't it?
Well, here's the thing. He goes, there's a guy out there who got a picture of it. Okay, so he said the magic words. I'm like, okay, I got to see the picture. He goes, well, I'm trying to get it, but here's the story. There's an old man that lives up there in a cabin, kind of a recluse, and he raises rabbits. Something was stealing his rabbits, and he had them in a hutch out back, you know, stacked cages, wire cages. He goes, whatever it was tripping the door latch and taking them. It wasn't like it ripped open like a bear would do or a coyote. He goes, something was actually going in there. And, you know, so the old man did the old trapper's trick of sprinkling a can of flour around the cages to see whatever was coming, if it left tracks. And sure enough, two nights later, it had come and it left tracks. And the tracks were these large human-like prints with big toes and, you know, real flat front of the foot. And, you know, what you would say is classic Bigfoot lore. So the old man decided to go into town and get a trail cam. So he went in, he got a trail cam, brought it back, set it up. And he also sat out on his porch for a few nights with his shotgun, because he said he had also heard some roaring up in the hills, which he had never heard in like almost 20 years of living there. It was just this one summer. And came out the next day and something had triggered the camera, and he had three photos, two of which just show an empty thing, side of the.
And you've seen these photos though?
Well, here's the thing. I was trying to get him, and I go, well, what was the, he goes, the one that you can see the outline of a shoulder and like the side of the head as it's reaching into the cage. I'm like, you got to get me an interview with this guy or a copy of the photo. And he goes, okay, I'll try. And came back a couple weeks later. He goes, the guy doesn't want any publicity because he showed it to me. He showed it to some people in his family, and they all ridiculed him. And he doesn't want some guy spreading it on the internet. So I was like, oh, boy, there's a classic. You know,
you would have had to have put it on your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, well, I did a video on it anyhow called The Rabbit Snatcher, because that's what the guy was calling it. That I just didn't have the photo to show, but I had everything else, and I had this guy's. I didn't tell about the mule that the guy told me, but you know, there's an example of some sort of animal out there that people are still trying to explain or at least come to terms with.
And you know, yeah. These guys, ML, they're not lying. You can tell when you talk to them.
Well, that's the thing. If I'm going to make up a story about running into some creature out in the desert, why would I say it through a mule at me? I mean,
exactly. Or steals rabbits.
Yeah, exactly. You would immediately go like, okay, sure. Now, one set of pictures I found, I was on, I think, your show with Ian, and I showed them, and they had Dr. Jeff Meldrum on, who was a Bigfoot.
Oh, he's good.
Locomotion specialist. And he looked at one set, he said he didn't know what they were. The other ones he said he thought might have been a four-legged animal running, and as all four feet came down and contacted the ground, it blew out what made it look like a giant footprint. And I had a whole track of them. Now, at the time, I'm like, well, okay, I guess that's one interpretation. Now, a friend of mine found some more a mile away from where I did in the winter in the snow, and you can clearly see toes on these, so it wasn't a four-legged thing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.